Good evening, First Baptist Brandenburg. It's a joy to visit with you in your homes tonight, and I pray it'll be a blessing to you. I've enjoyed these Sunday nights for this journey of this year. It's been a blessing to be able to do this. Our time is drawing near. I got about one more of these Sunday nights I'm going to be able to do. But I want to thank you for tuning in, and I pray it's impacted your life as it has mine to be able to share this word and to visit with you. It's been some good days for me. And Kathy and I, we both have enjoyed our time here. Today I want to be your preacher, and I want to take you to the book of Amos in the Old Testament. Amos is probably one of my preachers that I enjoy the most. He was just a farmer. He was just out there farming the field, and God impressed upon him. He said, the preacher's done shut up and quit prophesying, quit preaching. And we need a preacher, and he talked to Amos, and Amos stepped up. So I'm going to tell you all about that as we go through the sermon. But it's a phenomenal thing how God moves. You know, he's all the time wanting to move. He desires to move. He's in a changing process in our lives. And I pray that as we worship, as we do our devotion, as we pray, that he's bringing about change in your life. Amos, he begins with a statement in chapter 3. And I want to build around his statement. In chapter 3, verse 3, can two walk together unless they agree? Can two walk together unless they agree? Now, you think about this with me. That means if we're going to hang out, and we're going to be together, and we're going to grow together, be friends and family, our relationships or whatever it is, can we make it if we don't agree? Can we be close without agreement? He says, he asked that question. Can two walk together? I mean, now, I'm not walking on one side of the street and then on that side of the street on the same street. I mean, together on the street. Can we walk together in harmony in all of our differences and all of our different ideas and all our different personalities? Can we walk together unless we agree? The word agree means harmony, similar opinion. Now, the question is about how we work together in the life, but let me ask you a question. How well can we walk with God without agreement? Can we really enjoy the journey unless there's agreement? And so walking with God is it's a constant in our life, and there's harmony. Do we have the same opinions as God? You know, I wrestle with him sometimes a lot. Sometimes I come to stuff, you know, that I just kind of say, gee whiz, and I ask the questions and all those things in my life. But can I really keep walking with him until we agree? Now, the one thing I've learned about God, he's never wrong. He's always right. He's always right on point. And sometimes I just think that, God, if you were here a little bit different today, God said, no. Now, you got to agree with me to walk with me. That's the way we work together. That's the way we fellowship. Now, I'm not perfect. He is. But the agreement is he's God and I'm not, and I need God. I need help. See, that's how we come together. Not that it's intellectually inspiring, not that physically we can build each other up, but together we're better. Together the union is there, and it blesses our lives. So, as we think about what God does in our life, I want to take you back to Genesis chapter 3, and I want to just tell you back in Adam and Eve when they were living in that garden. Every day, they walked together. Every day, God come out and speak to Adam and Eve, and there they were, and they were just in agreement. He was God. The old devil comes in chapter 3 and throws a wrench in it, tells a lie to Adam and Eve, and then all of a sudden, their opinion changes about God. That sin came into their life, their opinion changed. In chapter 3, as he begins to work into their life. In verse 8, then they heard the sound of the Lord walking, God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They heard him. They heard God come. Wouldn't it be great to wake up and hear God come in and walk in the cool of the day? You can hear him coming into your lives. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees in the garden. Adam and Eve got out of step. They broke their fellowship with God. Adam and Eve, once they believed the lie, once they did exactly what God asked him to change their opinion of what God said, They never walked together again in that garden. They never pulled that off no more. Think about that. Unless we agree, can we walk together? Adam and Eve, when they broke their opinion of God, that he was God, and Satan entered that influence into their life and lied to them. Imagine Adam and Eve missed that walk every day with God. Imagine Adam and Eve wake up every morning and says, what are we going to do today? Well, God's not going to be around today. We can't talk to him. And let me tell you something. It hurt Adam and Eve, but I believe it hurt God even more. He created them in his image. They were perfect. He allowed them to have a temptation because he didn't want to be robots. You can only love when you have a choice. And they chose to believe a lie. And so all of a sudden, Adam and Eve are in this discourse of life. And everything we live changed. You know, I do believe this. As I understand the geographics of America, the numbers and the spirituality, every week in America, I believe there's less people walking with God. I believe the lies are becoming so vicious. Evil is taking its place in so many ways. I believe every week there's less people with opinion with God, walking with him along life's narrow way, letting him fulfill our lives. And we're partners together. Man, we're in fellowship together with the power of God in our lives. I believe there's a falling away that's coming across America, across the land today, that's phenomenal. Sometimes I pray, Lord, Maranatha, come quickly. Come back. As we travel through life, we see there's so much people that are walking away because of sin and disagreements in their life. The question, how can we agree with God? You know, how do we become in agreement with God? Well, let me share this with you. I was just reading the book of Amos. When I read through Amos and I come to that verse 3, I decided the best way I could be in agreement with God is just believe the Bible. Just believe exactly what the Bible says. That's how I come to know what God says. He wrote me a book. Man, he penned it out wonderfully. And so we could be in agreement with him. So we could know his desires. So he could know us and we could know him. And so the truth sets us free. As I studied about Amos, we can't find anything about this guy. He don't have any lineage. All we know is he's a preacher. He's going to talk about it in a few moments. But he was the preacher for the day. He asked the questions. He was in full agreement with God. His opinion with God hadn't changed. But everybody else in the world that day had. He was the only one that stood up. And so, man, when you walk with God and you believe a lie, you know, and you begin to just doubt a little bit of God this, a little bit of that, you know, the devil didn't cut down the tree. I mean, Adam and Eve didn't cut down the tree. They didn't burn the tree. They just took one wrong bite out of that tree. Doesn't take a lot to disagree with God. It doesn't take a lot. It isn't that we're the immoral group out there. I mean, if you're not walking with God, you're not walking where you need to walk because he's one to walk with us. So he asked the questions. And so help us to see how we can walk with him. Matter of fact, I believe God was in a position where he loved us so much, he wanted to walk with us. See, in the Old Testament, he was a keeper of the law. People forget that about God. He was a law keeper. And brother, when you broke the law in the Old Testament, you heard God was coming, you had a right to fear because judgment was coming, bloodshed everywhere. He was a keeper of the law, but he wanted to walk with us today. You know what he did? He sent his son to die for me and you so we could be in fellowship by the grace of God to pay for my sins so I can be redeemed on my walk. So I don't live in a perfect setting. I'm not sinless. But I'm always at the opinion that God loves me so much, he died for my sins, and I agree with him on that. Totally agree with him on that, and I can come back to fellowship with him. Sunday night, I was talking to the youth about God and church, how the church works, how to come back in fellowship with God. Fellowship is just two fellows in a ship, you and God walking through life together. And to enjoy that simplicity of that. But Amos was the man of God that he called upon to set the sermon in place. Because in Amos's day, the preachers quit preaching. In Amos's day, the preachers quit prophesying. And so I want to just share with you that in Amos chapter 7, there's a verse here that tells us about Amos, because he has no family, he has no heritage in the ministry. In 7 verse 14, they was asking him about his preaching and his lifestyle. And Amos answered and said to Amaziah, "I was no prophet, nor was I son of a prophet, but I was a herdsman, and I tended the sycamore fruit. Then the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said to me, 'Go prophesy to my people Israel.' Now therefore, hear the word of the Lord. You say, 'Do not prophesy against Israel, and do not spout against the house of Isaac.'" So he takes Amos, and he says, "Man, I don't have any lineage. I don't have any degrees. I'm just a farmer. But God's asked me to go prophesy. He's asked me to go share the good news with my people in the world we live in today and walk with him on that problem." Now, here's Amos' problem. Everywhere he went and he preached, they wouldn't listen to him. They didn't care what the preacher said. He felt rejected. But I tell you, he wanted to preach to Israel. That's where his lineage was. That's where he came out of. And so Amos was called by God to go and to preach the word of God and to be in the power of God through the experience. So as he's preaching to Israel, I like his sermon tactic. He preaches about, say, here in Kentucky. Now, we can preach about the sin in California. We can preach about the sin in New York City, and everybody amens and amens and amens. But you start preaching about the sin in Brandenburg, Kentucky, they say, "Oh, my." So, see, Amos starts this. He talks out. He went to four different communities, four different people groups, and he preaches, "I'm going to preach to this group." And everybody there in Israel said, "Amen, Amos, they need to hear that. Amen, Amos, they need to hear that." In chapter 1, as he began to preach, the words of Amos was among them, the herdsmen of Tekoa. And he was concerned in Israel in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah, in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And he said, "The Lord roars from Zion. He utters his voice from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds mourn. The top of Carmel withers." Now, he talks about the judgment of Damascus. The judgment of Damascus. And when he talks about Damascus, these people say, "Wow, man, that's good preaching." And then in verse 6, the Lord says, "The transgressions of Gaza." And then when he preaches against them, they're in Israel, they amening. Boy, I tell you, that's good preaching. Then the Lord talks about Tyre, "For the transgressions of Tyre." And he preaches about punishment coming to them, and they said, "Amen." It's pretty exciting. He's a good preacher. Then Amos begins to preach in all that God was doing in his life in chapter 4 and chapter 5. And the more he preached, the more they agreed. Then all of a sudden, the preacher begins to preach to the heart of the people where he lived. And all of a sudden, see, Israel in this day, they were in power militarily. They had prestige, they had money. And when the preacher would preach about the urgency to get close to God, they would just shun him. He's just, "We don't need that. Look how good we're living. We got everything going our way. We are the people of God." And he says, they just didn't listen to him. And it broke Amos' heart. You know, my responsibility as a pastor, as a preacher, to preach the word of God. And to preach it where people can understand it. But I've learned this. It's possible to listen to a sermon without hearing it. Man, you got to be willing to walk together with God to hear that sermon. It's amazing how people can listen and not hear. It's kind of like being married for a long time and your wife just speaks to you and you listen, but you really don't hear, and she calls you out on it, or you call her out on it. Because sometimes we just don't pay attention. But we want to walk together. And so then Amos comes around and he begins to talk about important things. You know what I've learned in my ministry? I've had a ministry of the people who have passed and went to heaven preaching their funerals. And you know why? At a funeral, people listen and hear. When you're seeing a casket laying right there in front of you, this is final. This is the real deal. They want to know. 9/11, churches filled up. People wanted to hear because there was a storm. There was a crisis going on in their life. But whenever things are going well and prospering, what's the need to walk close to God? Look, we got everything. And that's the tragedy of life. Got everything but God. And there's nothing more important in my life than God and your life. So walking with Him is the key of our life. And so when serious times comes, people want to listen. Now, the preacher sometimes compromised. I remember a young preacher who came out of Franklin Crossroads. Man, he surrendered to preach, and he took his first church, and it was exciting. As I kind of helped him go down a little bit and trying to help him train him and working with him. And we did a revival, and the church was having great times and was growing. 2 years later, he invited me back down there to preach. And I noticed things were different in the church. I said, man, what's going on? Some things here, you having problems? He said, yeah. I said, they don't listen to me no more. And so I've just kind of backed down. You know, let me share with them. Do you think that a preacher stands up, enjoys preaching truth and the power of the Holy Spirit of Christ that goes against our grain? It isn't easy. It's a lot easier to blend in. It's a lot easier to talk a little bit about sin, but not a whole bunch about sin. It's a lot easier to make people like you than let the people despise you. I've been preaching long enough to know that when you preach the Word of God the best you can, there's some people get it and some people don't. But all I can do is the best I can. Amos had to do the best he can. This young preacher told me after the end of the week, he said, I guess what happened here? They chewed me out so much, I just quit preaching very hard. I just started taking ease on them because they were just getting mad at me. I know what that's like. You know, the strongest person in your church will be your preacher's wife. Because when the preacher's really preaching, there's always somebody that doesn't like something. It just goes with the territory. It's okay. I mean, look at the life of Jesus. He ended up on a cross because he loved and preached the word of God. Taught the principles of Christ. Look at the disciples. They all died for him. It's dangerous business. It isn't that we come along so we can all get along and love the preacher. I want you to love the preacher. But I want the preacher to preach the word and love God more than he loves you. That's how this works. Amos was that guy. Amos wasn't there to be popular. He'd rather do what God says than what man says. And that's a pull. It's a pull on our lives every day. It's a pull on your life every day in the break room. It's a pull on your life every day where you go to work, where you go to school. It's a pull every day. There's always somebody trying to bring you out of that fellowship with walking with God. So Amos was the man who come and begin to speak to them about the problem that makes and the compromise that comes. In Amos chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, he talks about it. In verse 11, he says, I raised up some of your sons as prophets, but some of your men as Nazarites. It is not so, our children of Israel, says the Lord. He says, but you've given the Nazarites wine to drink. Let me tell you, the Nazarite was a people of God who took a vow. Samson was a Nazarite. Samson was one of those men of God that vowed. He didn't cut his hair. He didn't drink the whiskey. He didn't do all certain of things he did. And we know that Samson cut his hair. He lost his strength. He broke the vow. Let me tell you something. When you break a vow to God, that's pretty major. Samson taught us that. He just cut his hair. He broke the vow, and he lost his strength. Here, the Nazarite men that was set aside, they gave them wine. Drink it. And they drunk it. And when that man broke his vow to God, he no longer walking with him. He no longer walking with him. Can two walk together that don't agree? He lost his step. And so right here, the Nazarite, but then the prophet, is what he says. And he commanded the prophets, saying, do not prophesy. Stop that. Quit talking about the coming of God. Quit talking about the judgment. Man, we're living in prosperity. We got everything going our way. We don't want to hear about all that stuff. And the preacher on prophecy stopped prophesying the word of God. And so that's the reason why Amos comes into the show. The men of God have been set aside to do the words and the work of God had compromised, and they're no longer in the same opinion with God. They had got out of step. And so he calls Amos. Amos, in verse 13, tells us why he came. "Behold, I'm weighed down by you as a cart is weighed down that is full of sheaves." Amos says, "I'm just weighed down. I feel like there's 1,000,000 pounds on me because of all the things that's going on that's ungodly, immoral in the walk with God. All the things that have happened." He says, "I am just pressed down. I'm weighted down." He says in verse 14, "Therefore, fight shall perish from the swift." Here he's prophesying. He said, "I'm weighted down, but the fight, your great warriors as won the battle, here's what's going to happen. The fight shall perish with the swift. The strong shall not strengthen his power." Your army is going to fall. Your army is going to fall because of the sin in the land. Because how you're living your land. He's prophesying. He's laying it out there. He says, "You took out the prophecy. You took out the vows of the godly men. But I'm going to stand here with the weight of God on my shoulders to preach to you the probably word of God. And I want you to know that your strong men are going to become weak. And your missiles are going to fail. And nothing's going to work because God's going to bring judgment to you this day." He's beginning to preach. "The strong shall not strengthen his power, nor shall the mighty deliver himself." See, when you got everything coming your way, you got your money in your pocket, you got prosperity, you got a great land, why should we have to be so concerned about God? Well, let me remind you, I don't think anybody had any better life than Adam and Eve. They were in the garden that God prepared for them. That had to be a beautiful place, man. I mean, there was nothing wrong. The bees didn't even have stingers. There wasn't even a thorn in the bush. I mean, everything was perfect in that garden. But when they quit walking with God, the garden went away. It just stopped. And now here is Amos. He's prophesying. He said, "He shall not stand who handles the bow. The swift of foot shall not deliver himself, nor shall he ride a horse deliver himself." You won't be able to fix this, guys. You've won the battles, you've won the war, but you forgot it was God in you that won that battle. It was God that was for you that won that battle. You can't do it on your own. So you begin to prophesy, and the judgment comes. He says, "You're not going to escape this judgment. You're going to pay the price for it." His message was coming to their lives, and he was trying to help them to find it and for the Lord to bless them. Chapter 2, verse 6 tells us about the judgment of Israel. This is when he gets to Israel. This he points out their problems. He says, "Thus saith the Lord, for 3 trespasses of Israel and 4, it will not turn away its punishment because they sell the righteous for silver." They were selling their slaves for money. Money became their God. They begin to belittle one another over money. They sold their slaves for silver. Listen to this. "And the poor for a pair of sandals." It was all about stuff. It was all about money. Now, I just, you can't understand this until you really think about it a long time. But the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money. It's when you love it more than you love God. It's when you compromise your works and the words of God for money. It's when you turn away God from the opinion that, "God, if I just had enough money, I want to thank you for it." But you got to depend upon God and not money. And here Israel, they lost their way. They bought off the prophets. They told them to be quiet. They gave them wine. They all joined the party. You know, I visited a lot of preachers. In my ministry the last 10 years, I've traveled from church to church all over America and across the country. I've been blessed. And I just sit down with preachers, and they ask you how you grow a church. And I tell them, "Well, the best way I know to do is knock on a door." It's personal evangelism changes the world. Personal evangelism changes church. Every church I've ever pastored, I just knocked on doors. I don't care where I lived, I would knock on doors. When I went to Fairdale, Kentucky, my first church, I think I looked it up. I forget how many in Fairdale, how many houses there were, but I mapped it out. And I began to knock on every door in that community. Street by street, I knocked on doors. Little Cove Baptist Church had 20 people. Before long, we had 200 people. Before long, we had 300 people just knocking on doors. And then I always asked the preacher, have you knocked on any doors? You ever go make a personal visit? Have you ever led anybody to Jesus this year? If a pastor does not lead people to Jesus, he'll never lead people to lead them to Jesus. He can't do it. I don't save anybody. But boy, every time I bring him up, he shows up. He comes to seek and save those who are lost. And if you're going to be a leader, if you're going to be on staff, you're going to be a leader in your church, you're going to be a leader in your Sunday school, if you're going to be a Sunday school teacher, have you thought about sharing your faith? Have you thought about being in opinion with God? You're the light of the world. We're made in His image. He wants us to project our life, His life, through us, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to become a witness where we live. Have you ever invited somebody to church? I just talked to a man today who was real excited about First Baptist Church. He said, there's a family here with three kids because I was over doing some shopping. I invited them to come to church. He said, Brother Ron, they came. It was exciting. And let me tell you something. When you walk with God in your same opinion, you'll ask people to your church. You'll ask people to pray. You'll be concerned. And when it happens, why are we shocked? Because that's what God wants us to do. I want you to know this today. God wants for us to be the light and the salt of the earth. We're not all prophets. We're all not leaders. But we're all Christians. And we all know lost people that are going to die and go to hell. And have you ever prayed for one? You ever witnessed to one? And if not, why not? Sometimes we sit at our churches. We don't even understand our responsibility. I've been asking here at First Baptist pretty hard this last couple of months as we build a church to get working, to get in the fields, to do things. It's hard to do because you've come to church all your life and you just sit there and done nothing. Never invited anybody to church. See, Amos was a man of God who was pressed down. The weight of the Israel was on him because the preachers quit. Everybody stopped. But he says, I'm going to go and proclaim the word of God and change a world. The money was all about Israel at that time. Anything more important to you than money is, let me just say this. I heard a preacher, I was at a revival preaching, I was up in Louisville, trying to think of a preacher, evangelist. But he says, everything's important in your life. There's a lot of important things happening in your life, but anything more important than telling people about Jesus, that means you're backslidden. If there's anything more important and telling people about Jesus as a Christian, you're in a backslidden state. Because the most important thing I can do in my life is share the love of Christ. That's, you know, when Adam and Eve walked with God every day because they were in the same opinion. But when sin comes in our life, our opinions change. The urgency of God, the fellowship of God, and the power of God. I can't save nobody, but God can save everybody. I don't pick and choose who I think should. I just ask, and God does the lifting. He does the changing. And so I just want you to know, in Amos days, the preachers got bought off. They just told them to quit prophesying. They give them some wine. They blend it in. They go to church, and everybody's happy. I mean, we got everything. We're in control. We're in power. But then he preached, it's coming. Your army's going to fail, and your bullets will not fly, and God's going to come, because we can't walk together unless we agree. And I pray for the First Baptist Church of Brandenburg to agree. We must walk with God. We must agree that He came to seek and to save. He came to change lives. He came to help us. And I want you to know that Amos was a man of God that changed the whole world. The humble was run over. The people who had prosperity was taken advantage of. They were sold. The word agree means agreement. It's a contract. The word agree means agreement. It's a contract. The Bible is an agreement between God and man. Man is right. God is love. God is right. To walk with Him, we must agree that we need Him. Let's repent of our sins and share our story. And when we can agree with God, we walk along life's narrow ways. And He walks with us and talks with us. He is so real. I encourage you, as Amos teaches us, can two walk together unless they agree? I'd like for you to think about being in agreement with God tonight, to pray for people, to pray for yourself, and forgive your sins, to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. I pray that you would be concerned about your family immediately. I said Sunday morning, it's real easy to see our children walking away from God, but we can't ever see ourselves walking away from God. And we see people walk away from God all the time. I would encourage you, in the middle of this virus, this pandemic, a lot of people haven't been around for a while. And it's real easy to walk away and think, I can go through life without being public in worship. Let me tell you, that's so foolish. There's nothing greater than coming to God's house and singing praises to Him. Worthy is the Lamb. To pray to Him that hears my prayers and ask God to forgive us and heals our lands. I encourage you to walk with God this week. Be in the same opinion. We need some Amoses to come out of the fields and just begin to encourage people to do it God's way. I pray that we will be fellowship with Him and one another. I pray that God will make us strong in the power of His might. Acts, He says, ye shall be my witnesses in both Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and most parts of the earth. I'll empower you for this journey. But let's just get on the journey together. You know what I'm excited about seeing First Baptist? I see a lot of people come in the same opinion. They're starting to walk together, starting to work together, starting to expand their territory, starting to think of people outside of the church, outside of our lives. We got to meet people. I'm excited about you and what God's done in your lives in these days. But I'm more excited about what He's going to do in the days ahead. I want you to walk alongside with God. Walk with your new pastor. Pray for him. Encourage him. You know, Seth is a great guy, but Seth's going to make mistakes. He ain't going to do them on purpose, but he'll make them. You're going to love him through that? You're going to gird him and build him up? Man, just walk together, because when you begin to walk together, God begins to move. And it's ecstatic when you see him move. And I'm praying for that move to continue at First Baptist. How can two be together and not have the same opinion? Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for who you are and what you do in our lives. Father, the story of Amos is a tremendous story. How easy we get relaxed. We can be far away from God, don't even know it. Don't even miss walking with him in the mornings. Don't even miss talking to him in your prayer life and your devotions. Don't even miss coming to church. Be busy doing other things. God, bring us back to the fullness of who you are. Help us understand the Lord's Day. Help us understand worship in the New Testament church. Blood for it. Let's serve it. Let's honor it. Let's be of the same opinion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.